And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. You are my King.
you, O Lord. We bless your name. Thank you, Lord.
Somebody praise him right now. Come on. He is good.
Amen. You may be seated. Ushers, if you'll come. I'd like to receive tithe and offering.
Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. Somebody say he is good. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 11 tonight. Still talking about faith. Mark chapter number 11. Thank you, Lord. Verse 22. And let's stand together one more time. Give you one more time. Stretch your leg. And to honor him. Amen. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's a pretty positive statement, isn't it? Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for faith that you give us through the word of God. We ask you tonight to come. And Lord, we pray for that spirit of faith to come alive in this house and in people's hearts. Lord, that our faith will be stirred up to believe you, God, for the ridiculous, the extraordinary. Lord, that is so beyond our normal thinking. For you said, Lord, you do exceedingly abundantly above all that we even ask or think according to the power that works in us. So we ask you tonight to have your way. We thank you for your gifts, the manifestation of your spirit, all that you do, God. We just say, come and have your way. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for revelation knowledge. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. You can be seated tonight. Just going to recap just a little bit. I've been talking about faith. Remember, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, it is impossible to believe him. So without us thinking the word to be true, without us having confidence in the word, confidence in God, somebody say amen, confidence in God, believing him, without faith, it is impossible to believe him. It's impossible to please him, excuse me. For those who come to him must believe that he is, He's never failed, never lost a battle. He's always on time. He's in control of everything. Somebody say, he is in control. He is in control. And so we want to get our faith stirred up. Somebody say, get my faith stirred up. We talked about last week how that God cannot lie. Remember that? God can't lie. God can't lie. Numbers chapter number 23. God is not a man. Uh-oh. What does that tell you? Men tell lies. So, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Somebody say, we trouble now. Amen. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. How many people have ever had a man to lie to you? That's bad, ain't it? I'm not even going to ask how many's ever told a lie. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? I'm glad when God says something, he does it. Amen. Amen. He's watching over his word to perform it in our lives. He said, behold, I have received commandment to bless. He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. We talked about how that Balaam was hired by those wicked people to come out and curse the people of God, by King Balak. And he came out, and remember, Balak, he said, I can't do it, because every time he opened his mouth, he blessed the people of God. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Without faith, without faith. Somebody say, without faith, without faith. The Amplified Version says it like this. Now, faith is the assurance. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things that we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Amen. You're not going to get it up here, or in here, or right here. Somebody say, it's in your spirit, man. In your spirit, in your spirit, in your spirit. So the title means that you understand that if you ask God and you're believing God according to his word, that it's yours. Somebody say, it's mine. It's mine. So I want us to get our faith stirred up concerning this house. We want to see this place packed out. Yes. Amen. I want to see every wheelchair emptied. I want to see every sick person healed. I want to see every person's got a devil delivered in Jesus' name. Amen. Every work of witchcraft and sorcery destroyed and wiped out in Jesus' name. And for God to just come in power and glory. I know this, I shared with you the other day about Brother Hughes sent me a word. And he said one of the words was, you know, that people will get curious because they see the fire of God burning on top of the building. And so that's indicative of old tent revivals and moves of God that happened in the past, the glory of God showing up. Somebody say, I'm stirring my faith. What you do, you begin to ask God for it. Say, God, I want to see that. Say, I want to see it, God. Say it with me. Say, God, I want to see that. I want to see it. I want to see it. You don't see it unless you ask God for it. You got to believe him. You got to get your faith stirred up. Got to get your faith stirred up. And believe that God is going to show up in power and glory. Remember, we said that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Amen. Can't believe God one minute and say something the next sentence. You got to be tuned in. Somebody say tuned in. God cannot lie. Remember, we said on the other hand that the devil is a liar. If he's got his mouth open, he's lying. In fact, Jesus said everything that he does is a lie. He's a liar. Somebody say, he's a liar. He's a liar. So if the devil is talking to you, he's lying to you. I think some people don't get that. John 8:44. He is the father. He is the author of all lies. He abode not in the truth from the beginning. He is a liar. Everything that he makes is a lie. Somebody say it's a lie. So he wants to lie to you to keep you from your dream, your vision, your hope, your believing God for your family to be saved, believing for breakthrough, a job, or whatever that it might be. The enemy will tell you a lie. Amen? Tell you a lie. You think about the throngs of people, movie stars and other people that are millionaires, that the devil has got them to sell their soul out to him and ended up broken, broke, and in hell because he lied to them. They believed a lie. Somebody say, I'm not going to believe no lie. I'm going to believe the truth. Say, I'm going to believe the Bible. The Bible. Amen. Amen. You got your Bible with you tonight? Take it. Take it written. Say, hug that thing. Say, man, I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Now look at your neighbor and say, but I hate the word of the devil. I hate the word of the devil. Do not like it at all. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. And so John chapter number 1, remember we said, for whatsoever is born of God, are you born again? Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. The devil is the god of this world. Everything in this world is built upon lies, foundational lies. Amen, and sorceries and witchcraft and all kinds of crazy stuff. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Do you believe that God is Almighty God? Amen. You know, we were talking about this yesterday to someone. I think I was talking to Stella about it, yes. And how that God in the beginning made man out of the dust of the earth. And you remember when man sinned and then God pronounced that judgment. He told the devil, he said, from now on, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat the dust. Amen. He's eating our dust. Look at somebody say, the devil's eating your dust. Every time that I take a step, I'm stepping on his ugly head and he's eating my dust. Amen. He's eating dust. You ought to stir up as much dust as you possibly can. Amen. Stir it up. Somebody say, stir up the dust. Stir up the dust. Glory to God. And so faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God. What did he say? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest. What? That he might destroy the works of the devil. How does he destroy them in your life? When you're full of the truth, you know the difference between truth and a lie. Amen. And so you pull down every stronghold and imagination and lie of the enemy that's trying to hold you back or destroy your dream and your hope and your vision. You pull it down and you demolish it through the word of the living God. Somebody say amen. Now remember, we pointed out that this word overcometh is important because what this word means, it means that you overcome, you defeat, you beat, you conquer, you trouse, you trash, you vanquish, you overwhelm. You overpower, get the better of. You triumph over, prevail over, outdo, outclass, crush, slaughter, clobber. I mean, this is a powerful word. Powerful word. You lick it, you crucify, you demolish, you wipe the floor with, you make mincemeat of, blow out of the water, take to the cleaners, shellac and skunk. That's what we do to the devil with the word. Somebody say amen. Give God some praise right now for the word. Amen. That's why you want this in your mouth. It's not any good laying on a shelf. It's not any good here in a seat in your home. Take it with you. Read it every day. Somebody say, read it every day. Amen. So you think about this. Every time that we pray, every time that we're in the ministry working for God, doing the work of the ministry, those things, and speaking the word, we're doing all those things to the adversary. Our faith is at work. Somebody say, my faith is at work. Amen. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. Even my faith. Now, in Mark chapter number 11 tonight, we read this verse. And Jesus, I want you to listen to this. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Rely on him. Trust in him. Be convinced of everything that he said. He is truth. He is truth. All right. Now listen to what Jesus says. For verily I say unto you, or truly, truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, he's telling you how faith works. Whosoever shall say. That's right. So the first thing that I have to do, number one, is what? I've got to have faith in God. Right. If your faith is weak, you need to feed it. Right. Now get your faith stirred up. Every time we walk in this building and say, my God, there's not even a place for me to sit because of so many people here. I'm like Brother Lowry. He said, turn around and shake hands with 500 people. Amen. He said, you got to be careful. He said, if you lift your hand, you'll bump into an angel. Amen. You got to have that kind of mental, well-being about yourself. You got to think that way spiritually. Amen. You got to say, Father, I thank you right now. God in heaven, this place is becoming 500 strong. By the name of Jesus. Somebody say, by the name of Jesus. So we got to get our faith stirred up. Say, get your faith stirred up. And see, what does the devil do? The first thing he does is to come and attack you. He wants to put fear, doubt, bring you to a point of unbelief or crush you or cause you to just be apathetic in your relationship with Jesus. And when you get to that point, you become cold and indifferent, or you feel like, what's the use in trying? How many knows faith is pretty much dead at that point? And so what you have to do is you got to start stirring up your faith. If Jesus said, have faith in God, and really what he said, have the faith of God, Romans 4:11, calling things that be not as though they were. When you walk into a situation and you see it, you got to say, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. And so therefore, I'm going to call it what it's supposed to be. We're living in a world right now who's trying to take pronouns and turn them into whatever the devil wants them to be turned. But you know what? I'm going to call things like God calls them. Amen. Call things that be not as though they were. You got to get your faith stirred up. Somebody say, stir up your faith. Amen. You got to, like those feet and those legs and those bones and those nerves, you got to start talking to them. Say, look, you are my slave body, because that's what that word body means in the Greek. It means your slave. Your body is your slave. That means your spirit man should be strong enough to control that body. You tell that body what it's going to do. You say, get up out of this bed. You're going to go pray. I just want to lay in here for just at least another 3 hours. Give me five more minutes. You lay there looking at the clock and you feel miserable every 5 minutes you take. Come on now. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you the truth. But your spirit man should be strong enough to control that body and say, well, we're going to get up and we're going to pray. Today we're going to read the word and sit there and read it out loud. Praise God. Read it so you can hear it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Say, I'm going to feed myself the word of God. Before you have ham and biscuits or gravy and bacon and whatever you're going to eat for breakfast, before you ever do that, remember, I got to feed my spirit man. Because if I don't feed my spirit man, I have to remember what Jesus said. He said, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. There you go. Huh? The spirit indeed is willing. Excuse me. What did I say? The flesh is willing? No, the flesh ain't willing to do nothing. Spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. So you got to feed your spirit man. Say, feed it. Feed it. A steady diet of the word. A steady diet of the word. Somebody say, every day. As often as you can. Quote it going down the road. Put it everywhere you can find it. He said, bind it around your neck. Put it before you. Meditate in it day and night in Joshua chapter 1. You got to put that word before you. Amen. All right? Have faith in God. So if I'm going to have faith in God, if I'm going to have faith, I want my faith to work. Amen. All right? God's faith always works. Somebody say it always works. Always works. Jesus answered and said, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say, if you've got faith, this is how you use it. You're going to say it. You're going to say something. Somebody say something. So you got to have an objective. If you're going to speak to something, you got to believe God for something. And so we're going to believe God. We're just going to believe God that we're going to see things explode, extraordinary things in the spirit, supernatural things in the spirit. We were looking at these northern lights the other day, and we're looking at them through the phone, and Deborah was showing me some things. Man, my God, I don't know whether you've seen it or not, but there were angels everywhere. They showed that thing from a space shot, and it looked like a crown. I'm saying, man, there's some spiritual activity that's going on. And I'm said, fearful signs in the heavens and the earth, Jesus said, shall be in the last days. So he's telling me, he said, son, you're in the last days. And so the first thing that always goes off in my spirit about the last days is this, not the troubles and the woes and the ups and the downs and what the world's doing, but that God said, I am going to pour out my spirit upon your sons and your daughters in the last days, saith God. Amen. See, that's where we got to get our faith stirred up in that direction. We want to see every person sanctified, good, baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Amen. And if you don't speak in tongues, you need to. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost and power, you need to be. Somebody say, you need to be. Amen. So get your faith stirred up. And have an objective. You're believing God for something. I'm believing God for this place to get jam-packed out. I'm believing God for Jesus to show up in such a manner. This is what I'm after. I want him to come. Because I know when I read my Bible and everywhere that Jesus came, they came. No advertising, no internet, no anything, no television, nothing, no radio, not anything. But wherever Jesus was, they came by the multitudes. The blind, the halt, the lame, the demon possessed. You know, the spirits of people were just drawn to where Jesus was. Your creator is a spirit. You are a spirit. And if people's spirit is in need and God shows up, you better believe that they're going to be drawn to where he's at. Amen. Say, I want to be drawn. And so I want to get my faith stirred up. See, I know that if I can get your faith stirred up, it's like a magnet that starts drawing everything. Get drawn into the presence of God. The blind, the halt, the lame, the dumb, the deaf, all those people will be drawn to Jesus. The drug addicts, the alcoholics, the prostitutes, come on, the adulterers, the fornicators, to get set free in the power of God. Amen. So what we want is we want Jesus to be here in such a measure that when they come down the highway, they just got to come. They have to be here. They got to say, stop this car. Go back to that church. And they'll come running in the doors. We got to believe God for this. Say, get your faith stirred up. Look at your neighbor, give them a high five and say, stir up your faith. Get to believing God. Amen. See, once something like that happens, you're like, oh man, let's go for it now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because it can happen. It'll happen. Right there, Deborah's a product of it. She said, stop the car. Ran inside. They took off and kept going. She came in and got, you know, she had been saved at 12, gotten away from the Lord, but when she was coming down the road, we were in prayer meeting before service, and the Holy Ghost drew her in. Man, isn't that amazing? You're just riding down the road, so right there's a church, and right there's people, and Jesus is in there. You're drawn by the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, drawn by the Holy Ghost. Get your faith stirred up. Somebody say, get your faith stirred up. You got to have an objective. You got to somewhere to anchor that faith. What are you believing God for? Believing him for healing? You believing him for finances? You believing for children to be born again? We're believing him for this house to be filled. We're believing for the glory of God to show up. Fire on the building. Somebody say, fire on the building. Amen. Believing for all those people to be set free. We want to see God do something so extraordinary that everybody will stand back and say, I ain't never seen nothing like that before. It happens when people get excited about him and you talk about his goodness instead of all this mully, grubby mouth full of judgmental criticism and all this kind of junk. God, get rid of that. Somebody say, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get good and sanctified. Get cleaned up. Get it out of your mouth. Look at your neighbor and say, get it out of your mouth. Get it out. Get it out. Get it out. Get it out. Because if you believe something, you're going to say it. That's the reason you say things. That's a sorry person. Why? Because you believe you're sorry. Somebody say, that's not good to say. It's not good to say. Because you're a powerful person. You're speaking a curse on them. You need to speak a blessing. Somebody say, a blessing. It's easy to identify a problem, but are you powerful enough in Christ to say, Father, I call them out of that in Jesus' name, and I call Romans 4 and 11, that I call things that be not as though they were. I'm going to speak the opposite of where they're at. I say to that alcoholic, you are delivered. You're called to be a minister of righteousness, and you're going to tell people about the power of God that sets the alcoholic free by the power of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And the Spirit of God. Amen. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say, remember we said, we believe, therefore we speak. Remember that scripture last week? Amen. If you believe, you're going to say. It works both sides of the track. I don't believe it'll ever change. I believe it's the sorest thing I've ever seen. It's on and on and on. Which is easier to say? What's easier to say? See, that was Jesus' question. What's easier for you to say? Be healed or stay sick? See, it's just as easy to say one thing as it is something else. So I got to say what God said. When God saw us, he called us out of darkness. I said, God called us out of darkness. God believed in us. He spoke to us and he called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. That's why we're sitting here tonight, is because God believed in us and sent his son, and he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. What are you believing? What are you speaking? See, what you believe is what you're saying. Amen. Whosoever shall say, and he gets it right here, unto this mountain, be thou removed. Okay. After you say it, you're releasing your faith. You're believing what you are believing when you speak into the mountain of whatever that it is that it's going to move. Somebody say amen. That it's going to move. You're releasing your faith. And you say, be cast into the sea, and if you'll doubt not in your heart, but you'll believe, thrash, trash, beat, stomp, all these things. If you'll believe, if you'll believe, if you'll believe and not doubt in your heart, you will have what you say. Amen. You will have what you say. You'll have what you say. If you're glorifying your sickness more than you're glorifying Jesus the healer, you'll stay sick. I'm going to shake that tree one more time. I said, if you're glorifying your disease more than you're glorifying the healer, you're going to stay sick. If you're glorifying your debt more than you're glorifying Jesus, you're going to stay broke. And it works for everything. Amen. Oh, they're just so full of the devil. That old drug has such a hold on them. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. Jesus' hold can break the hold of the devil. Jesus said, you get out there and you snatch him out of that fire in my name. Is that what he said in the word? Come on, say amen. Say, devil, get your filthy hand off of him in Jesus' name. So we're not tolerating that. If we can get our corporate faith working in this direction, hell never will have a chance. We will stay in the glory of his presence, because wherever Jesus is, that's where business is going to take place. And I want him here. I don't want him to ever leave. We got to have more of him. More of him. Somebody say more of him. But shall believe. Trash, thrash, trouse. But shall believe. Be confident. But shall believe. He shall have whatsoever he believeth. For whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Amen. Now here's a good story in the Bible. I'm going to just touch on a few tonight. But in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, David's out on a war campaign. He's returning, and when he and his mighty men come back, the Bible said they were in Ziklag. He said he saw from a distance Ziklag was smoke was coming up. The Amalekites had went in there, and they had burned it with fire. And they had took the women and the children. They took David's wives and children too. And when he got back into the city, the Bible said that the men wept so hard that they couldn't weep anymore. And they began to talk about stoning David. And I'm going to tell you, if you got a bunch of people who are your mighty men and they've lived in a cave with you and they put trust in you and all these things down through the years, and they know that you're God's anointed, and they are so broken by hell. See, this is what the devil can do. So disparaged, so dismayed. Now they're talking about stoning David because they're saying he's the problem. Hadn't been for him, this wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't even be living in Ziklag. But remember, all that were broke, all that were distressed, all that were without faith came and joined themselves to him in the cave, and they became his mighty men. These men were great warriors. And so what did David do? This is important. The Bible says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. What did he do? He basically did what we just talked about in that scripture in Mark chapter number 11. He got his faith stirred up. He said, oh my God, what am I going to do? They burned my house. They burned my city. All my men are wanting to stone me. They've taken my wives. They've taken my children. I mean, it's so heartrending and so crushing. Can you imagine what's going on in him? And he hears them talking about stoning him. And David says, I know one thing. This is a demon out of hell. This is the devil himself. And I know that my God is able to cause these things to be restored to me. And I'm not going to tolerate the devil have them stone me. Because they could have. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. Somebody say the encouraged. So listen to this. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Somebody say encouraged. So this word is the word in the Hebrew, and it means he seized hold of God. Amen. When you get in trouble, what do? You throw up both hands and want to just quit? Curse God? You know, like that Job was tempted to do? What do? Say, I just can't. I'm just so messed up, I can't pray. Kashata mahaya. That's why you got that. Somebody say hakatosha. You're right. Amen. I mean, how do you respond when you have this kind of crushing stuff come against you? Because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is real life. This is real life, because if you're looking for Christianity to be something where you just swing from chandeliers all the time and high-five people and talking, and everything is just great and you never have a problem, it's not that way. You're going to face demons and devils and the pure powers of hell and temptations and trials and sufferings. I mean, read about Paul. But Paul knows how to put the icing on the cake and the cherry on top. He said, "But hey, I want you to know something." He said, "If we're going to suffer for him, we're going to reign with him." Amen. So what did David do? David just simply encouraged himself in the Lord. He seized hold of God. In other words, I like this. One of those things, it says he recovered himself. Sometimes you got to say, oh, remember David said, "Oh soul, why are you disquieted within me? You calm yourself down. You quit acting stupid." Sometimes you guys got to talk to yourself. You got to go look in the mirror and say, "Look, look, Bobo, you stop that stuff." Amen. Amen. Go look in the mirror, look yourself right now. Say, "Devil, get out of me." Say, "I don't think I got a devil." "No, but the devil's working on you." You got to get your faith stirred up. It's like David said. He said, "Look here, man," said, "I'm going to recover myself. How am I going to recover myself? I'm going to say, 'The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies.' Devil, I want you to know that he's the same God that met me out in the fields when I was shepherding sheep out there. And I ripped apart a bear and I ripped apart a lion. And devil, I want you to know I am not putting up with you getting my wives and my kids and messing with my soldiers in the name of Jehovah God that I serve. I am encouraging myself in the Lord." Come on. In other words, he went from a bent over posture to hands that were raised high. Somebody lift your hand and say, "Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't serve an old weak God, this decrepit and bent over and gray headed and in a wheelchair like Stalin wanted everybody to think. I serve a living God. He's a fire from the loins up and down." Hallelujah. He's a God that created all things, and with one word, it'd be out. The devil is gone. See, but you can do the same thing with the devil in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. 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 Listen to this. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then what did he do? After he got his faith straightened up, after he recovered himself, he went and prayed to God. Yes. He had an objective. "God, Yahweh, Jehovah, shall I pursue these people? And will I overtake them?" See, now listen, what's he doing? He wants a word from his Father. That's right. See, we got a word. He didn't have one of these carrying it around. Huh? No, he wouldn't care. He needed a word. He went and inquired of God. Shall I pursue and will I overtake? And I love this because God answered him back as he always did. He said, "Pursue them, for you shall overtake them." And, everybody say, and. And in other words, God just didn't want you chasing devils around. He wants you to do what? Recover everything that the devil has stolen from you. My God. In 1977, they had a tent meeting on this hill right here. 70 souls got saved. Roger Graves preached the meeting. Supernatural stuff happened in those meetings. God moved right on this hill where this building is right now. I think that we're in such a strategic place and time in the spirit right now, because here we are, we're coming up, we're 40 years right now here. 40 years. I'm getting ready to turn 16 on the 23rd. I got to count that up. That would be, yeah. All right. But see, there's a strategic inflection point. We're at an impasse, and something supernatural is getting ready to happen. Amen. There's a lot of stuff the devil stole from this church. We're going to pursue, we're going to overtake, and we are going to recover all in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, that devil is going to pay back sevenfold for everything that he stole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He's going to have to give it back. Mr. Devil, you are going to pay back in the name of Jesus. Sevenfold. Everybody say sevenfold. If you catch a thief and a liar, he got to pay back. Somebody say pay back. Pay back. So what did he do? They went and they pursued, they overtook and recovered everything. Somebody say that's what you got to do. See, he went and got a word. He got a word. Somebody say he got a word. You got a word. He got a word. What did he need that word for? So that he had something to stand on. Mm-hmm. What was he doing? Calling things that be not as though they were. It didn't look good. I'm telling you that God says, it doesn't matter what it looks. I get glory when it looks like it ain't, and it's no way that it's going to happen. Because if you've got all, everything is lined up and just exactly perfect like it should be, he said, I can't get glory out of that. I get glory when you stand there and say, there's nothing I can do but believe. That's all you need to do. You ought to say, praise God. Hallelujah. It's like I think it was Graham Cook who told a story. He said that he had a young man that he was mentoring, and he said that he called him and he said, I want my church to really have a breakthrough. And they began to pray, began to fast, began to pray. Church had a great breakthrough. And then he called him back and several months after that, and he said, how's it going? He says, man, everything's going great. He said, well, what's the problem? He said, man, I need something to get shaken up around here. He said, I need the devil to show up so we can have another big breakthrough. Amen. And so they prayed. The devil stirred up something, and they had another big breakthrough because he said, you gotta believe. You move from faith to faith and glory to glory. Somebody say amen. One breakthrough is just a stepping block to the next great breakthrough, another greater breakthrough, and another greater breakthrough as you build your faith. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Glory to God. He got him a word and he went for it. He stood on that word and God showed up and did exactly what he said. Somebody say amen. Amen. And here's another. You know the woman with the issue of blood? The Bible said that she came. What did she do? She came. Heard that Jesus is in town. She came. Had an issue of blood. And according to the book of Leviticus, you know, she was not even supposed to be in a crowd of people. She's supposed to be separated. She's unclean. And so she's breaking the law, but she's already said in her heart, it's live or die for me. That's the way you got to be when it comes to faith. Yet I say, I don't care. And I'm going to say, people, there might be somebody in the crowd that recognizes me, but I'm going to believe if I could just take a big leap and touch the hem of his garment, then I'm going to be healed instantly and I'm going to have an argument. Amen. And so the Bible said that she came. Somebody say she came. She came. She came. She came. She said within herself. She did what? Said within herself. If I can touch the hem of his garment. That's what she believed. She believed that if she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, that she would be healed. She was saying it within herself. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. If I speak to that devil in Jesus' name and command it to come out, it's going to come out. If I pray in Jesus' name, my child is coming to salvation. If I pray for a breakthrough on my job, I am going to get it. God, if you have to move four people out of the way, you're going to move on my behalf because I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm there for you, Jesus. Come on. I believe that if I will but get in God's presence, that I'll be healed. Amen. Think about that, man. If you sit down and soak in the presence of God, you're in pure life. The glory. Somebody say the glory. There's no need in the glory. Listen, if I could just touch it. And the Bible said that she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. Remember the story? The Bible said Jesus stopped and said, somebody touched me, because he perceived that virtue was going out of him. And Peter and him would say, oh God, Jesus, come on, Jesus. He said, everybody's bumping into everybody. He said, no. See, there's a difference. When you get your faith lined up and you start saying it, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. That was her point of contact. And when she touched that hem of his garment, she released her faith, and that virtue came out of him. Like somebody flipped on the vacuum cleaner, sucked it out of him. Went right in her, she got healed. Amen. Oh, woman, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Amen. I'm going to skip over here. Let's go. I'm going to look at Matthew chapter number 8 and Mark chapter number 4. And this is Jesus in the storm. Now listen, talking about how faith works here. Listen. And the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let us go. Let us pass to the other side. What was he doing? Giving them a word. He was giving them a word. Listen, if you've got a word, the devil can't kill you. If you've got a word, I don't care where you're at in life and what the enemy has attacked you with. If you have a word concerning your tomorrow, the devil cannot kill you unless you allow him to. Now, you can let him. But if you believe that word that God gave you, and you're holding fast to that word, the devil cannot do anything about it. Now listen, let's go to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was into the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind and waves and beat into the ship so that it was now full. Because in your journey of faith, once you get a word, you better believe that all hell is going to come against you to try to get you not to believe it. Because there's something waiting on the other side that's sure that Jesus is going to do. Those disciples are going to see it and partake of it, and they're going to be filled with faith as well. But on the way there, somebody say on the way there. And just like you, if when you get a word, you remember in the Bible, I can't remember which psalm it is, but remember the Bible said when Joseph got that word from God, the word of the Lord tried him. When you get a word, the devil is going to try to get you to back away from it. Well, I give up on that. My God, I ain't giving up on it. I'm not giving up on it come hell or high water. Devil, you're dead meat. You're dead meat. I'm going to see it. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to touch it. I'm going to handle it. I'm going to sit back and say, praise God, look what the Lord has done. I am not going to let you take that glory from my God. Amen. 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 Somebody say, got to have an attitude. You have got to have an attitude. You can't just mulligrub around, and it's because when something goes wrong after God has said something to you, and then think it just God just going to roll out the red carpet, and you know it's going to rain blessings down on your walk all the way to it, and without anything, without the devil not trying to do something to stop you from receiving that, because it's all about the glory of God's name. The devil does not want his name to be honored. How does God have his name honored? Through you getting your prayer answered. Come on. For you standing on the word and believing it and saying it and seeing it come to pass, he gets glorified. Because the devil, listen, what the devil wants to do is get God over in the line category, but it ain't going to work. Let every man be the liar, but let God be the truth. So they had a word. He had given them the word. Let's go to the other side. Storm comes up. Storm. Somebody say the storm comes up. They go down. He's asleep in the hinder part of the boat. They go down and they wake him up and they say, somebody say, they say. Jesus said, let's pass to the other side. Let's. He didn't say, I'm going to the other side. That's not what he said. Let's pass to the other side. He could have said, boys, I'm going to go back here and sleep. It's going to be an all break out of hell and a storm's going to come up and you're going to fear for your life. But if you'll stand on that word, you stand up and tell that storm to go and rebuke it in my name. He didn't tell them all of that. He could have. He just said, let's pass to the other side. And if he'd have said, I'm going to the other side, they would have been in trouble. Somebody had been playing with the taps or whatever, but the captain wouldn't have went down to that ship, not Captain Jesus. Now listen, they went back and woke him up. Lord, this is what they said. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we perish? That's the way humans respond. See, you have to understand, when you read this in the Greek, you know, there come up a great storm. One of the writers said it, the word is megas, and it was like an underwater earthquake that took place. It was like the sea convulsed, and like it just reached up with hands as one to pull that ship down. It was demonic. It was a demonic attack against their faith. Jesus knew it was coming. Somebody say, Jesus knew. Jesus, listen, do you honest to goodness think that Jesus, being on board that ship, asleep in the back, didn't know that that ship would have made it? They could have all went to bed. And that ship would have went to the other side. Huh? They'd have said, we called it a submarine, I guess. I don't know. Now listen, they woke him up. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we are perishing here? All right? Carest not that we perish. He arose. He rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased. There was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And he's, listen, that's him talking. He's talking to them. He's talking to them. But listen, he gave them a word. Look at somebody and say, that story's in there for you. That when you're out in the middle of that storm of your life, financially, physically, family, and it looks disparaging and it looks like there's no hope, and the more you pray, the worse it's got. You just remember that the devil's assignment was to sink the ship. Hell's assignment was to sink the ship. But Jesus is on board. And what had Jesus done? He had given them his word, let us pass to the other side. He's on board. They wake him up. I think sometimes we need to wake up the Jesus that's on the inside of us and realize that he's in here. Amen. Realize he's on board. How come you're so fearful? Because the enemy wants to put fear on us that it's not going to come to pass. Amen. You see, like fear, disparagement, dismayment, discouragements, depression, despondency, all of those things sap people's faith. And when you have several people like that, or they get in a place of doubt or unbelief, it's a mean spirit to wrestle down. Amen. And you got to know what you're up against. Everybody say momentum. They had momentum for sinking. Jesus had momentum for making it to the other side. And so we need to have momentum as a church. We have to believe God for the supernatural power and presence of God. And every prophetic word that God has ever given to this church, it has to do with the supernatural. It has to do with the above and beyond. It has to do with the extraordinary. It has to do with the manifestation of the Spirit of God. And I think that this is so awesome because, number one, we're so visual that people go by what they see. You cannot go by what you see. You got to go by what you know. If your eyes could be open tonight and you could see everything, demons and angels, you would see the devil has a plan just like God has a plan, and the devil would be working his to try to get people discouraged or out of faith. God's plan is to get you in faith and clobber the enemy, thrash him, trash him, bash him, smash him, all of those things. And so the last thing in the world that you want to do is get in league with the enemy like David's mighty men. Remember, they said, what did they say? They talked about stoning him. They wept until they couldn't weep anymore. We talk. Have you ever read anything about David's mighty men? They slew giants. They slew lions. They went down the pit and got one on a snowy day. They killed an Egyptian that was a giant, whose spear was like a weaver's beam. I mean, the dude just went and did it just to do it. I mean, can you imagine, said, hey, man, there's a lion down that pit. I'm going to go get that rascal. I'm just going to do it. You're talking about making my day. I mean, these are mighty men, and they're so discouraged that they're crying. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. But the last thing in the world the enemy wants you to get is that when God speaks, it's done. It is done. If I've got a word, somebody say, if I've got a word, I've got a word, I've got a word. I'm going to tell you something. Traveling everywhere and trying to find somebody to prophesy over you is not getting a word. That's dangerous. That's stupid. Amen. Well, I'm going down here, Prophet so-and-so, see if I can get a word. Well, Prophet so-and-so might be committing adultery or fornicating. Oh, you're going to get a deposit all right, but it ain't going to be what you want. If you get a word from God and a true prophet, you don't need 25 other people to tell you again. If you get quickened by a scripture in this Bible, if a prophet of God, like Brother Hughes, if he comes and gives you a word, you can bank on that word. And you should. You should take it every single day of your life and say, Father, I just thank you right now. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for your word. Because why is that word given? That word was given you to bring faith. So that you would speak it out. Because if you believe it, it's not just going to say, praise God. Let me tell you about the, you know, I got a word from the Lord. I got a word from the Lord. I got a word from the Lord. Well, what are you doing with that word you got from God? Because you should be working the word. Amen. Like the little woman did, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, like David did when he encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen? And so here in this particular story, Jesus said, let us go to the other side. He gets up, rebukes the winds and the waves, and says, peace be still, and there's a great calm. And what did they do? After he did all of that, they said, we ain't never seen nothing like this before. And I got a feeling he's going to give us a big whipping. Why are you so fearful? He said, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you believe I'm Emmanuel? Yes. So if that's God wrapped up in flesh, they've seen him raise the dead. They've seen him heal the sick. They've seen him do stuff. It's, you know, so on this day when this storm comes up, it should be no different from anything else for them to trust God. But all it takes a lot of times is for one family member or one church member to try to tell you it's not God. Or tell you that, oh, God ain't going to do it. Do you really believe that that's going to happen? I sure do. I sure do believe it. Matter of fact, I'm going to double down on it because you're lying to me. You don't know what spirit you're of. Come on. I believe it. Somebody say, I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. That's the reason I tell people, I say, yeah, I say, I hear the footsteps of my son coming. I hear it. I hear it in the spirit. I hear it in the spirit. I hear it in the spirit. I know God is speaking to him. I know God is working. Hallelujah. I don't have to have anybody tell me anything. I know that he's coming. But if God sends somebody along to give a token, I believe it. Amen. It's just like the other day, you know, when the prophet Jeremiah had given that word about the rainbows concerning this very thing. Deborah says, I feel like it's a rainbow outside. And it was run right back. Here's a double rainbow. That's what God's saying. I'm going to give you double for your trouble. Double for your trouble. Amen. Why are you so fear-filled? Why are you so full of fear? You know what we need to do? It's when the enemy comes. Listen, if you get a phone call, you know that some family member's gone haywire. If you get a bad report from the doctor, if they come and tell you that your job is coming to an end, if you're just attacked by in any way that the enemy may attack you when he comes against you, you know what you should do? You need to start going out. You say, praise God, hallelujah. Father, I just thank you. I have an opportunity for you to do something great and awesome. I just thank you right now, Father, that in Jesus' name, a miracle is getting ready to take place for me. Glory to God. Amen. Because you are the God of the breakthrough, the God of the miracle, the God of the impossible. And start getting excited, because you know why? The more you will do that kind of stuff, you better believe that those same demons that want to drag you down and depress you and beat you up, because they know, they can see it. They see the angels. They see angels surrounding you. They already can hear the activity of God that's going on. And those demons are standing there watching. It's their job to prevent that. And they're not expecting you to start praising God and glorifying God and speaking the word. And when you get up and start speaking the word and praising and thanking him, you're binding kings and nobles with chains and fetters of iron. When you begin to praise God and speak his word, it's putting the enemy to flight. Somebody say it puts him to flight. Amen. So when you start doing that, you better believe it upsets hell. But the thing about it, it expedites your miracle. I said it expedites your miracle. It expedites your miracle. It expedites. You know, well, you know, like, you know, you're young and you know, I know all that sounds good and all this stuff. I'm going to say, look, I'm not young. I wish, you know, I'm claim youth. But I can tell you, I've been in this a long time. And I can tell you right now, I've had too many people come along and say, well, you know, look at the circumstances. He's not the God of the circumstances. No. He's the God of miracles. He wants to take the curse and turn it into a blessing. He wants to make the devil pay for what he broke in your life. Sevenfold. You just got to get your faith started. Shall I pursue, God? Shall I pursue? Will I overtake? God said, go for it, boy. Go do it. Hallelujah. Can you imagine God sitting up there and those Amalekites, and all of a sudden they look back and they see this other big cloud of dust coming? Because I'm going to tell you, David trounced that bunch. Mm-hmm. Listen, the amazing thing is that the moment that you set your heart toward God is that everything starts coming in divine alignment. I said, everything has to come into divine alignment. You don't have to turn to the right, and you don't have to turn to the left, but you listen to the voice that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Amen. Say, I ain't got time for you, devil. That's what you ought to be singing. I ain't got time for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Because every time, let's stand together. Every time when you're moving in faith, and the enemy can get you to repeat what he said, you're backtracking. You're hindering the Holy Spirit. I mean, when you walk with God, you're speaking his word, and you're doing what he said, you're getting closer every single step. And you never know when that phone is going to ring with the favor of God. Financial breakthrough, health and healing, children being born again, lives touched and changed. I mean, all kinds of great things happening because of just exercising your faith. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. Lord, I thank you for the measure of faith that you've given us. I thank you, Father God, that we can take that faith that you give us, which is little faith, and turn it into great faith. I thank you that we can turn it into exceeding great faith. I thank you, God, that you have, Lord, that we can turn it into exceeding great faith that causes exceeding and great things to happen. Father, I pray tonight, Lord God, that we will be like David and encourage ourselves in the Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, that we will have a recovery of who we are in you. Because you have chosen us and called us by name. We belong to you. Lord, and I thank you right now that God, that when we stand in faith, you pay us, Lord. You reward us. You pay us, Father God. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, for those that are that the enemy has orchestrated things to maybe discourage them and hinder them. I thank you right now that God, I know you've opened eyes and I know you've opened ears and I know that you've opened hearts. And I know tonight that in Jesus' name, Father God, that they are encouraged in spirit. And Father, that they're going to rise up and speak the word of God in Jesus' name. And Father, I just thank you right now that every storm has to go. Every sickness has to go. Every disease has to go. Every oppressive, depressive work of the enemy has to go in Jesus' name. We thank you tonight for victory, God, for we call things that be not as though they were. We thank you, Father God, that they're going to stand in line to get in this house because of the glory of God. We thank you, Father God, that that you've spoken will come to pass, and you're bringing people of renown and prestige, Father God, in this house, Lord, and you're going to cause them to sit and learn from the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Father God, that in Jesus' name, Lord, that bondages are broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, that the sinner is going to be set free. Father God, that, Lord, sinners that everybody knows that have a reputation that people says will never change, God, you're going to change their life by the power of God. And Lord, you're going to cause them to be different, talk different, act different, and raise them up to do great things, Lord. And Father, we're going to see it happen in this house, and everybody's going to stand in awe of your great name and your power in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, Father God, right now. Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, that we rejoice with joy unspeakable and joy that is full of glory, hallelujah. For your kingdom is not meat and drink, but peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we say to heaviness and depression, you're ended. It's over. We bind you and rebuke you from every soul in Jesus' name, Father. And Father, tonight we thank you that you give beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garments of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness, Lord. We just thank you for that tonight. And Father, we thank you that, Lord Jesus, even before Perry Stone gets here, we're already in your glory, already experiencing your presence, God, because, Lord, we want you. It's not a meeting, God. Meetings are for men, but we are here for you and your glory and your presence. More of you, God. We say more, more, more in Jesus' name. More of you, Jesus. More of you, God. More of you, Jesus. More of you, because Lord, if you come, nobody has to preach. Nobody has to lay a hand on anybody. The blind will see and the deaf will hear and the devils will come out. Oh, God, the alcoholics will be set free. The drug addicts will be set free. The LGBTQ are going to be cleaned, and those ragged robes of that garbage of immorality are going to be fall off of them through the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we believe it. We believe it. And all you got to do is just come and sit. All you got to do is come and sit. You were asleep in the back of the boat. That's all they needed. Beso, monke e puriste bandege. Just you, Jesus. Just you. Just you. Just you. You're all we need. You're all that we need. You're all that we need. Everything that we need. Everything. Everything. Lord, it's in you. We just need more of you. More of you. More of you. Turn it up, Lord. Turn it up. God, give us grace to get rid of everything, Lord, so we can make more room and have more capacity for you. For you, God. For you, God. For you, God. Hallelujah. That the business of you, God, will be more important than the business of men. Lord, that prayer will become a priority. Worship will become a priority. Lord, just loving you will become a priority. Oh, Lord, that we'll realize, God, that you can deposit the money in the bank. You can take the disease out of the body. You call the children from the north, south, east, and west. All you want is for us to choose the good part and set at your feet. Ha, ha, ha. Mm-hmm. Makatishalo monoramande segedulamande. Makishtebera mostaforabanse. That's all we need. That's all we need. Give us grace, Lord, that we may serve you more acceptably, God. Jesus, this is your house. I don't want it to be my agenda. I want it to be your agenda. I don't want it to be anybody's agenda. I want it to be you. Lord, that whatever you want is what we do. If we just come and sit and just sit in your presence, have your way, Lord. Ebedeste kupata tese. For I say, stir up your faith. Stir up your faith. For the day is now. Now that your shadow can bring miracles into people's lives. Because of the virtue of who I am in you. All you need to do is let your light shine. All you need to do is just stay in a mode of worship and honor my great name. Because when you go, I go. And when I speak, you'll speak. And when you speak what I say, great things shall come to pass. Oh, just realize that I'm with you always, even unto the end, says the Lord. When men begin to say and talk about how that the end is here and the end is coming and tries to sow fear in your heart, remember, I tell you these things so that you can have my peace. And so when the world is falling apart, that you can just show them who I am and what I do and just let me work. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I'm available. Say it, I'm available, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If anybody has a need tonight, we want to pray for you. Feel free to come and we'll pray. Whatever the need might be, we'll believe God. Amen. He's working right now. Thank you, Jesus. I was thinking about that song, shackled by a heavy burden, neath the weight of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. See, that's what you need. That's what you need right there. Mm-hmm. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the weight of guilt and shame. But then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened and now I know He touched me and made me whole. There's nothing like Jesus' touch to make you whole. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My goodness. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Lord. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened and now I know that He touched me and made me whole. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. For something happened and now I know that Jesus touched me and made me whole. My goodness. He's here. Man, He's here. He's here. See, somebody here, you've been through such struggles and you've been so beaten down that your faith has become basically zilch. But tonight, He stirred it. And He's speaking to you. And He's saying, I'm your joy. I'll flood your soul. I'll touch you. I'll make you whole. So receive that tonight. Receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't want to leave without it. Glory to God.